This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tonight's lesson, inshaAllah ta'ala, is about a noble companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he's sitting among his companions, and he describes this companion by saying, إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ لَتَشْتَاقُ إِلَى ثَلَاثَةَ إِلَى عَمَّارُ وَإِلَى عَلِيُّ وَإِلَى سَلْمَانُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting among his companions, and he says to them that the paradise, it longs for three people. The paradise can't wait to meet three people. They are Ali and Ammar and Salman radiyallahu anhum ajma'een. And you know, subhanAllah, there are millions and millions that can't wait to meet the paradise and can't wait to enter the paradise. But who are the few that the paradise itself can't wait to meet them and it longs to see them? Salman radiyallahu anhu, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes him as being one of these people. In another instance, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting among his companions, where Salman is in the gathering, and he places his hand on Salman radiyallahu anhu and he says, لو كان الإيمان عند الثريا لتناوله رجال من هؤلاء. Or he said, لنا له رجل من هؤلاء. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he places his hand on Salman and he says that if the deen was inda thuriyya, yani in other words, if it was at the furthest, if it was located at the furthest star from this earth, then people like Salman would have reached it. Yani they would have made some sort of space shuttle, they would have made some sort of rocket, and they would have got there. The determination and the will that Salman radiyallahu anhu had until he arrived to the truth and to the guidance was something that is incredible and unbelievable. And this is why we are going to find out, yani we're going to find out how real this statement is about Salman radiallahu anhu when we look into his life. He was nicknamed Al-Bahithu Anil Haqiqah. That's his nickname. Yani the searcher for the truth. And he was also known as Salmanul Khair, the Salman full of goodness. He has an amazing, incredible story that even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard it, he loved it so much because of the valuable lessons and the wisdoms that it offers and it contains. And he loved it so much that he made Salman radiallahu anhu repeat the entire story again in front of the companions. And the companions would memorize this story and they would narrate it to their children and to generation after generation until it reached us. And we narrate it as well, and it will be narrated until the day of judgment. This is how amazing and incredible this story is. And that's the barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed in this story. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the story of Salman al-Farisi radiyallahu anhu is a true story that happened on the face of this earth many, many years ago. And the reason for why we study this story is so that we refresh our commitment and our steadfastness upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a time where we are in desperate need of always reviewing and rechecking our iman and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This story, my brothers and sisters in Islam, is about a man who left his family never to be reunited with them ever again. And for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He replaced him with a much better family, and that is the family of the believers. And he left his hometown only to come back to Persia as an amir during the khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu when they conquered Persia. And he left his wealth and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced it with something that money can't buy, and that is guidance itself. And he left his desires and he left the temptations and desires of this world. He left work and he left marriage and he left opening a family and children and all that. He left it all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in search of the truth, until eventually he united with the truth and united with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters in Islam, everything, you need to understand this disclaimer at the very beginning. Everything you and I went through, and keep going through in this life of trials and tests and tribulations in search of Allah and guidance. Salman radiallahu anhu went through it all. And he went through a lot worse and much worse than anyone has ever been through in search of guidance and in search of a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do I say this? Yani, in other words, if this is the situation of Salman, and even after all this hardship, he found the guidance and he found the path to Allah, it leaves no one with an excuse not to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to search for this guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught mankind. Salman radiallahu anhu, during his time as he's searching for the truth, he had no prophet to direct him. And he had no righteous friend around him to motivate him and keep him encouraged. And there were no books to read. And there was no YouTube and there was no Google to research. All he had was his intellect and his freedom at the beginning and his strong will and determination. And these were gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. He spent many years in searching for the truth. We'll understand and we'll realize just exactly what we mean by how many years. So the story begins. And Salman radiallahu anhu, he was born almost the same time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. And he lived many years on after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's death. Yani al-ulama rahimahumullah, they narrate that Salman radiallahu anhu, he lived the entire life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He lived the khilafah of Abu Bakr, the khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu, and he died in the year of 33 of Hijrah. He died and he was 83 years old. So he lived past the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what we're going to speak about, the story of his that we're going to share, is Salman radiallahu anhu's life up until he meets the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, he has a longer story after that. But we're just going to focus on the narration that he narrates, which is his life up until he meets Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I really cannot promise that I'll finish the story tonight. And if that's the case, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, next Wednesday, we'll do part two in the conclusion of this story. The point, my brothers and sisters, is not to go through the story, just narrate a story. We're not here for storytelling. Yani, the story, I could share it with you in 15 minutes and we're done. That's not the point. The point is, what makes this story incredible and what makes it amazing? And so with every lesson and with every wisdom and with every opportunity of extracting some guidance from the lesson, we're going to stop. And we're going to make a point and we're going to see how this is relevant for our times today. This story stands up until this day very relevant for the life of each and every single person that is looking for a path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking for a path on how to remain firm and committed upon the deen of Allah until he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the challenge for each and every single person. And no better than Salman radiallahu anhu's story to shed light on this purpose. So he begins the story, and Salman radiallahu anhu, he says, كنت رجلا فارسيا من أهل أصفهان من قرية يقال لها جي أو جيان. So he says, I was a Persian from Faris, from the people of Asfahan. Asfahan is modern day Iran, and it's central Iran. It's right in the middle of Iran, this Asfahan. And he said, I came from a town known as Jayyan. And the people of this town, including Salman and the family of Salman, their religion was Al-Majusiyah, right? So they were Zoroastrians. This is what Al-Majusiyah is. Zoroastrians, basically these are people that worship the fire. وَكَانَ أَبِي دِهْقَانُ قَرْيَتِهِ. And he said, and my father, he was the priest of the Zoroastrian church in Asfahan. So his father was a priest. He was someone huge in the town. And his father wasn't only a priest, but his father was also the leader of the Sasanian, one of the leaders of the Sasanian Empire. This is, there's an empire that existed at that time. The Sasanians, they ruled Persia from the 3rd century up until the year 651, where the Muslims came and they conquered it under the leadership of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. So his father is not only a priest in the church, but he's also a leader of an empire. So you can imagine that his father's income is much more than everyone else. His father's a wealthy man. So Salman radiallahu anhu, he says, he continues, he's giving us now something about his family to understand what position he was in and how much he sacrificed. He continues and he says, وَكُنْتُ أَحَبَّ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ إِلَىٰ أَبِي. And he says, يعني I was the most beloved creation of Allah to my father. يعني his father loved him so much that he literally imprisoned him in home. And he did not allow him to go and see anyone or to leave the house. That's literal. حبسني في بيتي. He prisoned me in the house. And Salman رضي الله عنه, he says, يعني وكنت ملازم النار, and I was in charge of the fire. And he says, واجتهدت في المجوسية. Now, since he's at home, he can't go anywhere. He said, I put lots of hard work and effort in my religion. In the religion that he's upon, worshipping the fire. Lots of will and determination and so on. And what we learn from this, my brothers and sisters in Islam, is that if the people of falsehood, they take their religion serious and they put lots of hard work and effort in it. He says, اجتهدتو. يعني I put so much effort in this deen. And they are upon falsehood. How much more serious does the believer supposed to take his deen? Right, when he's upon the truth. For you can understand, these are the people of falsehood, and look how serious they take their religion. فيعني subhanAllah, how much more serious and how much more effort is the believer supposed to put in his own religion? Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the end of Surah Al-Ankabut, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, those who put a lot of hard work and effort in the sake of Allah, in the path of Allah, the result is لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, we will surely guide them to our path. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who put lots of hard work and effort in their deen. فسلمان رضي الله عنه, from the very beginning, he put lots of hard work, he's putting lots of hard work in his own religion and his worship. And he says, I worked so hard until I became قطن النار. يعني until I was appointed the custodian of the fire. This is a big position, it's not an easy position. He became in charge of the fire, and he now has the responsibility to make sure that this fire is on 24/7 and it does not extinguish. You need to understand something. The Zoroastrians, this religion, yani they believe that the universe has two creators. They believe that darkness and light, these are the two creators of the universe. And they believe that the greatest source of light is fire. And if the fire is on, that means there's light. And if there's light, that means goodness is created. This is what they believe. So they believe that light creates goodness, and darkness, it creates the evil. And this is why the fire has to be kept on 24 hours of the day, 7 days of the week. Because as long as the fire is on, goodness is created and harmony is on earth. If it turns off, this is when evil is created. This is their belief. Well, this is al-kufr wal-iyadu billah. So he became in charge and responsible of this position, that he needs to make sure the fire is on 24/7. He said, وَكَانَتْ لِأَبِي ضَيْعَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ. And he said, my father owned a massive property, a huge farm. This is, al-bay'ah is bustan, a huge farm. His dad owned a massive farm, and only a few people at that time would own something like this. So his father now, he's really emphasized how wealthy his father is. He's in a high position already. He's a leader of an empire. He has a property, he has farms, he has gardens like no one else. He owns an empire. Salman radiallahu anhu, he says, قال فشغل أبي في البنيان له يوما فقال لي يا بني إني قد شغلت في بنيان هذا اليوم عن ضيعتي فاذهب فاطلعها. So Salman radiallahu anhu, he says, and one day my father got really, really busy at work, and he was busy with another project, and he came to Salman for the first time, and he says to him, my son, I'm getting really busy with a building I'm constructing. Look, there's a building that he's constructing. How much more does he have, and how much, what's the idea of how much does his father possess? And the child is living a life of a king. Watch what he's about to sacrifice. He says, so my father comes and he says, son, I'm really busy in a project and there's some buildings I'm constructing. Can you go to the farm and look after it instead of me? Look after the farm instead of me. He's giving him a responsibility for the first time. And Salman radiallahu anhu, he says, and my father gave me specific instructions of what to do on the farm. So Salman radiallahu anhu, he says, فَخَرَجْتُ أُرِيدُ ضَيْعَتَهُ. Finally, for the first time in my life, العلماء رحمهم الله, they say he was about 16 years of age at this time. He left his house for the first time, going to start the first day of work on a farm that belongs to his father. And he said, فَمَرَرْتُ بِكَنِيسَةٍ مِّن كَنَائِسِ النَّصَارَى. And as I'm on my way to the farm of my father, I passed by a church that is for the Christians. Of course, this is, we're speaking about Persia, so Christianity also was a dominant religion at the time. So he said, I passed by it, and I heard some noises from inside, and they were praying. He heard something. The Christians, they're reciting their salat, their prayer. وَكُنْتُ لَا أَدْرِي مَا أَمْرُ النَّاسِ لِحَبْسِ أَبِي إِيَّايَ فِي بَيْتِهِ. And he says, I had no clue what people used to do, because my father prisoned me in the house for so many years. I was very unsocial. I don't know what people are doing. I'd walk on the street and I'm confused about what the people are doing. Subhanallah, we learn something here. We learn there is something here that each and every single parent is supposed to avoid when they raise their children. And that is that some people, due to the concern they have for the children, due to the love they have for their children, what do? They don't leave their children to go anywhere. They don't allow them to mix with anyone. They don't want them to meet with anyone. They're at home 24/7, homeschooling, Saturday and Sunday at home, not meeting with anyone. Well, subhanallah, when the kid is 16, 17 years old, he doesn't know anything in life. No experience whatsoever. Yani even a normal conversation with someone, he doesn't know how to handle and deal with it. This is something that is wrong. Yani the father is not going to teach these social skills to his child. It's not going to happen. The child is going to learn this from outside and from the world that he meets. And so what we learn here, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that when we raise our children in a community or in any society, let them be with the community, but keep a close eye on their movement and on their behavior. You need to keep the close eye, but you do not deprive them and pull them all out from society. Eventually, when they're 16 and 18, yani they're running around and have no idea on social skills and how to carry themselves in life. This is very wrong in what his father did. And so Salman radiallahu anhu, he admits this. And he says, لا أدري ما أمر الناس. I had no idea what people used to do. Subhanallah. Then he says, فَمَرَرْتُ بِهِمْ وَسَمِعْتُ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ دَخَلْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنْظُرُوا مَا يَصْنَعُونَ. He said, I passed by this church and I heard their prayers. I got interested, so I walked in to see what they were doing. قال فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُهُمْ أَعْجَبَتْنِي صَلَاتُهُمْ وَرَغِبْتُ فِي أَمْرِهِمْ. He said, when I saw them, the way they were praying, I admired their salat. I fell in love with it and I became passionate about their religion. Well, subhanallah, my brothers in Islam, my brothers and sisters, up until this day, the worship of as-salat is the most incredible worship in terms of its positive effect on people. There is no one that sees as-salat, and there is no one that learns about as-salat except that that becomes the door of his guidance. This is in the past and up until this day. One of the biggest reasons for why people enter Islam is because of the salat they see and the organization and the pure nature and the tranquility and the peace that the people experience in their salat. Well, subhanallah, even those that are misguided and come back to the guidance of Islam, what do they begin with? The first thing they begin with is their five salawat, and they do not avoid it and they do not leave it. Salman radiallahu anhu is telling us that the first thing that hit his heart and struck his heart and had a positive effect on him was the salat of the Christians in their church. And he remembers it and he narrates it with us in this narration. وَقُلْتُ. And as he looks at that and he admires and he's observing this salat of the Christians, he said, وَاللَّهِ هَذَا خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الدِّينِ الَّذِي نَحْنُ عَلَيْهِ. He's shocked, he's astonished. He says, وَاللَّهِ, this religion of theirs is way better than the religion we are upon. And he's right about that, because their religion is about worshipping the fire. And it doesn't make sense to him. How do we worship the fire and call and ask the fire, and the fire asks us for more wood so it can stay on? Doesn't make sense. And yani, subhanallah, Christianity, it makes more sense than any other religion at that time. Yani, it was obviously 100% obvious it was better than yani al-Majusiyah, the worshippers of the fire. Christianity was better than that. At least Christianity, it came from the sky. Originally, it came from the sky. You know, even with the millions of errors that are within it, there is some truth inside of it. So Salman radiallahu anhu, his heart, his inclination, it came in line and in synchronized with al-Nasraniyah, with Christianity. And he said, I did not leave the church until sunset. He took an oath. He said, Wallahi, I did not leave them until sunset. You know, subhanAllah, why? Because he was amazed. He was looking and observing their salat the entire day until sunset. And because he is a young boy, and the night is not safe for people at this age to be outside, that's why he rushes back home and he packs up and he goes home. Otherwise, he would have stayed there the entire night and the next day and the day after and so on. But he had to leave and had to go home by sunset because it's getting late, it's getting dark. And he says, and I forgot all about my father's farm and I did not go to it. So he says, just before he left them, he said to them, فَقُلْتُ لَهُمْ أَيْنُ أَصْلُ هَذَا الدِّينِ. He said to them, can I ask you one question? Where is the source of your religion? Where did this religion originate from? They responded to him. They said, Asham, in the lands of Asham. Well, subhanAllah, and obviously the religions, this is always, that's where their origin was, Asham. So he hears this, and you need to understand this important question he asks. Salman radiallahu anhu is not settling for anything cheap. He's in serious pursuit of the truth. So the first question he's interested in, where is the origin? And I know you people are upon goodness, but give me the straight to the foundation, straight to the source of this deen. So they said to him, Asham. قال ثم رجعت إلى أبي وقد بعث في طلبي وشغله وشغلته عن عمله كله. He said, finally I returned to my father at sunset, and my father had sent a search party after me so they can locate where I am. Then his father loves him so much. Now he missed him. He sent a search party to locate him. And he said, and I disrupted the day for my father. I totally ruined his day. قال فلما جئته قال أي بني أين كنت ألم أكن عهدت إليك ما عهدت. When the father first saw Salman رضي الله عنه, he said to him, son, where have you been? Where were you? Didn't I give you clear instructions on what to do? So Salman رضي الله عنه, he says, يا أبتي مررت بناس يصلون في الكنيسة فأعجبني ما رأيت من دينهم فوالله ما زلت عندهم حتى غربت الشمس. He said, my father, I passed by a church. I was on my way to the farm, and I passed by a church, and there were people praying inside of it, and I loved what I saw, and I stayed there until sunset, and I didn't have the time to go to the farm. You know, subhanAllah, Salman radiallahu anhu, he could have lied and he could have avoided all this together, but he preferred to speak the truth radiallahu anhu. And we learn from this that no matter what situation and no matter what circumstance you're stuck in, it doesn't matter. You learn to speak the truth. Then the truth, one day, it'll come and it'll be of benefit to you. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, قال الله هذا يوم ينفع الصادقين صدقهم. On the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, it's a day in which those who spoke honesty and spoke words of truth, that'll be of benefit to them on that day. Whether the believer, the one that's searching for truth, cannot lie, it's not part of him. And the fact that Salman radiallahu anhu speaks the truth, even though he could have lied and avoided this entire confrontation with his father, teaches you how sincere and how honest this man was in search of the truth. So the father, he said to him, my son, there is no goodness in their religion. Don't ever turn there, don't go again. There's no goodness in that religion. Okay, what's the proof, oh father? What's the proof that Christianity is no good? Listen to what he gave him. Listen to the explanation he's giving his son to understand how limited in knowledge his father was. He said to him, دينك ودين آبائك خير من دينهم. He said, our religion and the religion of your forefathers and ancestors, it must be better than their religion. That's it. Is that the proof? What's this? Yani, this is no proof. SubhanAllah, yani Salman radiallahu anhu, he did not buy for this, you know, he didn't yani buy for these words. And he said to him, Wallahi, inna deenahum khayrun min deenina. He said, well, these are scolding words, words of strength and courage. He said to him, Wallah, their religion is way better than our religion. You need to understand something. Salman radiallahu anhu is not being rude to his father. But Salman radiallahu anhu realizes that this is not just a normal argument between him and his dad. He realizes this is a battle between the falsehood and the truth with his father. And so he's not going to buy for something that is false, something that will lead him to Jahannam, wal-iyadu billah. So he stands before his father as though his father's an enemy of his, and the father sees the son as an enemy, and he says to him, Kalla wallah. He stands with strong words, and he says to him, no, wallahi, not at all. How? In other words, you're saying that the fathers and the grandfathers, it's impossible for them to make an error? What's this kind of explanation? How do you explain that the deen is authentic because of that? He didn't buy for that. And he said to him, wallahi, their religion is way better than ours. قَالَ فَخَافَنِي فَجَعَلَ فِي رِجْلِي قَيْدًا ثُمَّ حَبَسَنِي فِي بَيْتِهِ. So Salman radiallahu anhu, he says, my dad looked really worried. He was angry. So he put iron shackles on my feet and he locked me. Listen to what he said. He locked me inside his house. He prisoned me inside his house. Now Salman radiallahu anhu, he doesn't say he prisoned me in our house. He says in his house. It's as though he's saying it's over between me and my father. This is a war between the truth and the falsehood. So he says he shackled my feet with iron fetters and he tied me, he chained me inside the house once again. Well, subhanallah, we learn something here. And that is, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that throughout history, and even till this day, anyone who has authority or a leadership, he carries a leadership position, when his followers contradict him in his deen, when his followers contradict him in his religion, they take advantage of their authority and leadership, they abuse it, and they abuse those beneath them, and it doesn't matter who it is, even if it's their own children, even if it's their most beloved children. Look at this explanation. Yani, subhanallah, nowadays, we look around, we look left and right, and we see our brothers and sisters in Islam around the world being tortured, imprisoned, and persecuted, and so on. My brothers, there's nothing different. This even happened to Salman radiallahu anhu, and this is his father, and this is the most beloved son to his father. But you need to learn, this is the tradition of Allah upon the sincere righteous believers. What happens to them? That even every single time they oppose their leader in religious and belief matters, almost all of a sudden they fall victims to torture, to prosecution, to imprisonment. Look at this example. And if the father didn't spare his son, why would you expect that the enemy of Allah is going to spare the believers from being imprisoned and tortured? Yani, subhanallah, a great lesson that we learn in this. So Salman radiallahu anhu, now he's spending another time in the house. Now this time his feet are shackled to chains and he's imprisoned. So Salman radiallahu anhu, he says, بَعَثُوا إِلَى النَّصَارَ فَقُلْتُ لَهُمْ. I sent a letter to the Christians. I sent a letter to the church. He sent it with someone, a friend of his. He came by the window. He gave him a letter. He said, go give it to the priest in the church. What's in this letter? He wrote in this letter, please, if a caravan from Asham comes to Persia, comes to Iran for trade purposes, once they want to leave and go back to Asham, notify me. Because I'm going to hop out of my house and I'm going to jump onto their caravan and they're going to take me and carry me to Asham. He's planned it out. So his friend said, no worries. He took the letter, he gave it to the priest in the church and they understand exactly what Salman wants. So Salman radiallahu anhu, he says, فَقَدِمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَكْبٌ مِنَ الشَّامِ تِجَارِيٍ مِنَ النَّصَارَى. He says, so a few days, a few weeks went by and a caravan carrying trade and business, it arrived from Asham until it reached Iran. And they told him, the caravan is here. So now he's preparing himself. Another 6, 7, 8 days, and the caravan is going to leave. And so during this time, he begins to prepare himself. Imagine, that's it. This is his final view of the house. No goodbye to his mother, no goodbye to his father. He drops everything where it is. And he says, I managed alqaytu alhadida min rijlaya thumma kharajtu ma'ahum hatta qadimtu Sham. When I learned that they're about to pack up and leave to Asham, he says, I broke off the shackles from my feet. Allahu alam, how did he remove them? It wasn't mentioned. But very important to understand that whoever is honest and sincere with Allah, Allah will aid him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way for him a way in which he will never realize and he would never expect. And this is exactly what's happening with Salman radiallahu anhu. He managed to break these chains and the iron fetters from his foot. And he says, I jumped out of the house and I rushed to the caravan. I got to the caravan. I hopped with them and they took me all the way to Asham. فَلَمَّا قَدِمْتُ Once I arrived to Asham, قلت من أفضل أهل هذا الدين. The first question he asked when he got there, he said to the people, who is the best and the most knowledgeable person in this religion? Of the determination. He didn't say just, can you take me to someone that has some knowledge here, to any kind of Christian I learn from him. He's not settling for that. It's too cheap. This is your deen. You can't settle for something cheap. He says, take me to the best and the most knowledgeable of the Christians here. My brothers and sisters in Islam, here we learn something huge. A deen, it's not a game. Religion is not a game. Nor is it some random news that you can take from any source. A deen, religion, is supposed to be taken from its origins, from the Quran and from the authentic Sunnah. And if you do not understand the Quran and the Sunnah, and you're not able to derive rulings from it, then you're supposed to go back to the scholars and to the people of knowledge, those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised in the Quran. And he said, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you had no idea. Today, yani what's the disaster today? A person opens up a fake Facebook profile account, fake. He reads a little bit of news from here, watches something on YouTube from here, and he begins to post about huge matters concerning this religion. And the people follow him. And you ask the people, why did you follow him? Brother, he's speaking the truth. He's upon the truth. SubhanAllah, my brothers and sisters in Islam, not everyone that speaks the truth is qualified to teach the religion. Not everyone that speaks the truth is qualified to give a fatwa. We need to differentiate between a scholar, a student of knowledge, a lecturer, a preacher, a researcher, the imam of the masjid, a famous reciter, a person that has a large following on social media. We need to differentiate between these types of people concerning the deen. Not everyone that makes himself available and public becomes qualified to speak about the religion and issue verdicts and fatwa to the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He spoke about the fatwa in the Quran, He ascribed it to Himself. He said, وَيَسْتَفْتُونَكَ فِي النِّسَاءِ قُلِ اللَّهُ يُفْتِيكُمْ فِيهِنْ. And they ask you about a ruling concerning women. Say, Allah will give you a fatwa regarding them. And when you rush to give the fatwa, you made yourself in that same level in where you want to give the fatwa, just like how Allah gives a fatwa. You need to be very careful, my brothers and sisters in Islam, how you carry yourself and who you take your deen from. Yani, subhanAllah, if a dream required a fatwa, in Surah Yusuf, Yusuf alayhi salam, he says, yani the people come and they come to Yusuf, a prophet, and they say to him, Yusuf, ayyuha as-siddiq, aftina fi sab'i baqarat. They required a fatwa for a dream. Imagine that, a dream required a fatwa. Yani imagine then the greater and the more complex matters and issue of the religion. SubhanAllah, what kind of person do they require for someone to begin to speak about issues like this? Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said that the one who is asked a question and he doesn't know the answer, but he guesses the answer, and well, subhanAllah, coincidence, it turns out correct what he said. He said such a person is sinful because initially he spoke without knowledge. Even though the answer is right, we don't look at that. What brought him, what pushed him to speak? He spoke without knowledge, and as a result, such a person is sinful. Alhamdulillah, today the scholars of Islam are plenty, and they are many around the world. And there is not a single excuse for anyone to say, I didn't find the right people of knowledge and there was no one to ask, so I had to message someone fake on the internet and this is why I've ended up how I am. There is no excuse for such a people. So this is why Salman radiallahu anhu, as soon as he arrives to Asham, he asks for the most knowledgeable person in Christianity. He's teaching us here that do not settle for anyone in your religion. Your deen will either take you to the paradise or it will either take you to Jahannam wal-iyadhu billah. فَمَنْ أَفْضَلُ هَذَا الدِّينِ. Also, subhanAllah, when he asked this question, مَنْ أَفْضَلُ هَذَا الدِّينِ, it's as though he's saying, look, I don't have time to waste. Take me straight to the best. I only came here for one reason. And he didn't sit with anyone. He didn't socialize with anyone. So they said to him, قَالُوا الْأُسْقُفِ. They said to him, the bishop. If you're asking about the most knowledgeable is Al-Usquf, the bishop. So the narration, Salman radiallahu anhu, he says, قَالَ فَجِئْتُهُ. The fact here فالفورية. I immediately rushed and I went to him. يعني you see, he did not sit on the side with someone, didn't do some tourism in the land before he goes to him. Almost immediately he picked himself and he went straight to Al-Usquf, straight to the bishop, teaching us that a Muslim is not, يعني the Muslim, he does not waste his time and he should not waste his time. أنت, your time is your life. فسبحانallah, he rushes to the church and he comes to this Usquf, he comes to this bishop. And he said, رضي الله عنه, he began to speak with this bishop. And he said to him, I am inspired by this religion, Christianity. And I desire to be with you. And I want to serve you. Salman is saying this to the bishop. Allahu Akbar. Salman, the noble and the honorable companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wants to be a servant. Yes, no problems. If it brings him closer to the truth, he is willing to do anything. And he said, and I want to learn from you and I want to pray with you. Shuf, subhanallah, Salman radiallahu anhu, you will find him along his journey always offering to do two things to the bishops he meets. He meets plenty of bishops, but each one he meets, he offers always to do two things, and you can learn something from these two things. Number one, he offers to be a servant. He offers to serve and service the community for free. Why? Because that would earn him the love and the respect of the people. And the other thing he offers to do is to pray and to learn his salat and to learn his deen with the bishop. Why? Because a salat is a relationship between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when one prays, he earns the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, serving the people earns you their love. Praying earns you the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is exactly what he does throughout his journey, these two things. قال فدخل فدخلت معه. So the bishop seemed to be impressed. He said to him, okay, no problems. Come in and I will take you under my guardianship and you can be a student of mine. قال فكان رجل سوء. So Salman رضي الله عنه lived with him a few weeks and he begins to describe him. And he says, Allah, this usquf, this bishop was a corrupt bishop. He was evil. كان يأمر الناس ويرغبهم بالصدقة. He used to come out to the people and he used to encourage them to give a sadaqah. Donation. He used to encourage them, yeah, people, give donation. Our brothers and sisters are dying overseas and there's the poor and there's the needy. Give the sadaqah. And the people used to give the sadaqah. And he used to take it and he used to treasure it for himself. Until I counted 7 bags of gold and silver that he treasured and he hid and he didn't give anyone from the sadaqah. So he says, كان رجل سوء. I did not like him. فَأَبْغَطُوهُ بُغْضًا شَدِيدًا. I hated him like I've never hated anyone before. Subhanallah. Salman رضي الله عنه, he saw this, but he wasn't able to say anything. He wasn't able to go out and notify the people. You know why? Because he just arrived to the town. And yesterday he met the usquf. Yesterday he sat down with the bishop. And this bishop is well respected. And he's loved by the community. Oh, he forgives the people on the Sundays. And he answers their questions. And you know, he takes care of their spiritual affairs. So if Salman dares to speak a word against him, almost immediately they'll kill him. So from his wisdom, he remains silent. He doesn't say anything. Well, subhanallah, listen to this. Salman radiallahu anhu, look, his first teacher in religion turned out to be a thief, turned out to be evil and corrupt. And that did not يعني, come in the way of Salman radiallahu anhu. And he did not give up looking for guidance and looking for the truth because of this. Nowadays, what happens? You have someone that if he came into the deen for the first day and he realized from the sheikh he's a thief or he's a liar, what happens? That masjid, they're all liars, brother. They steal the money of the people and they speak this and they speak that. Khalas, I gave up altogether. I'm not going to follow anymore. And that's it. Almost all of a sudden, that's the only one excuse that was enough for you to deter you from the entire deen. Salman radiallahu anhu, look at his experience. First teacher turns out to be a thief. But that shouldn't affect you in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A thief, drop him and move on. That just should not affect you. People that do that, subhanallah, yani, these are people that they themselves aren't honest. They themselves are looking for any small reason to leave this entire deed. So they use it and they run away from it, and all is good for them. And that's enough for them to rest and to keep away from this entire headache. Nothing. They mock them own selves and no one else. For Salman radiallahu anhu, he kept on going. You need to understand, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that the deen of Allah, some people implement it. And some people are not going to implement it properly. And if no one implements it properly, then you be the one that implements it properly. And don't point fingers on people and they're the ones that turned you away from the entire deen. This is what Salman radiallahu anhu is teaching. قال وأبغضته بغضا شديدا لما رأيته يصنع. He said, and I hated him for that which he did. And the bishop, you know, he used to rip off the people. And subhanAllah, we need to understand also from this that the mistake that those in leadership position do has a much worse negative effect on the people far more than if a normal person was to do that mistake. The higher you go in your position and the more respected you are among the people, the more you're supposed to watch out. Then the one sin you do, it has a way, way worse negative effect on the people than if it was to be committed and done by any normal person. قال ثم مات. Time went by, this bishop got sick, and eventually he died. فاجتمعت إليه النصارى ليدفنوه. So the Christians and his followers, his lovers, they came together, they gathered in the church, mourning his death, and they wanted to give him a proper burial. قال سلمان رضي الله عنه, he said, فقلت لهم إن هذا كان رجل سوء. Now he got up, now he can speak. He said to them, you see this bishop of yours? You didn't know, but he was a corrupt, evil bishop. He used to encourage you to give the donations, and he used to rip it all for himself. He used to eat it all. They said to him, what makes you say that? He says, I can point you to where he stashed this gold and silver. They said, فَدُلَّنَا, take us there. So Salman radiallahu anhu, فَدَلَّهُمْ, he took them. And they dug the ground, they dug the earth, and they pulled out 7 bags of gold and silver. And the people that donated recognized, Allah, this is the necklace of my wife. This is my daughter's ring. This is my money. People began to realize their wealth, for they understood what he said. SubhanAllah, you also learn here that even the teacher, even the priest himself, the dunya could be a fitna to him. No one is safe from the fitna. No one is safe from the fitna. Here we're learning that even this person in high authority, he fell victim to the fitna of this world. قال فصلبوه ثم رجموه بالحجارة. They weren't going to give him a noble burial. So they grabbed him, they crucified him, and they began to stone him. As he's dead, and they began to stone him, this is their anger unleashed and released at such a person. They stoned him and they left him. You need to understand here as well something, my brothers and sisters, and that is that yani, we learn that people might think they can do a sin and cover it from the people and not repent, and they will never be exposed. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed this person after his death. Instead of being buried and given an honorable, noble burial, look at the humiliation that he received. Where, yani, from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is As-Sittir, the one who covers the sins of mankind. You see, it's a mercy that Allah azza wa jal covers our sins. It's no problem. You commit a sin, Allah will cover it. That's no problem. But when you begin to take advantage of this mercy of Allah and you begin to use it to your advantage, almost immediately you need to realize that one day you'll be exposed. If not during your life, it could be at your death. If not during your death, in your grave. If not in your grave, in the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal will expose the one who takes advantage of Sitrullah. When you do a sin, realize and understand you haven't been covered, because this is a sign from Allah Azza wa Jalla. He wants you to repent and to return to Him and leave the sin altogether. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, this is the scary part. He says, لِيَسْأَلَ الصَّادِقِينَ عَنْ صِدْقِهِمْ. Allah Azza wa Jalla will ask the truthful one about his honesty on the day of judgment. If the truthful is asked about his honesty, imagine the one who lied. How severe is the question going to be? The one who spoke honesty and truth, Allah will ask him, what did you speak? Why did you speak this truth? To imagine the one who lied then. What, yani, subhanAllah, what kind of punishment such a person will face on the day of judgment. They stoned him, and this is how they left him. وَسَلْمَانَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, he says, ثُمَّ جَاءُوا بِرَجُلٍ آخَرٍ فَجَعَلُوهُ مَكَانَهُ. Almost immediately, they appointed another bishop after him. Someone's got to take the position, so they put someone. And Salman radiallahu anhu, this time, he praised this bishop. And he said, يعني subhanallah, فما رأيت أفضل منه. I did not see anyone more righteous and more pious than this bishop. Salman radiallahu anhu, he described him and he said, he used to pray his 5 daily prayers. And he didn't have a huge concern for this worldly life. He had an enormous concern for the hereafter. This was the newly appointed bishop. And he said he used to pray his 5 daily prayers. What did Salman radiallahu anhu mean by that? He did not mean that he used to pray five daily prayers like what we pray. But you need to understand, Salman radiallahu anhu is narrating this story after his Islam. So the person in Islam, the one who prays his 5 daily prayers, is considered pious and righteous. So when Salman radiallahu anhu said that the bishop used to pray his 5 daily prayers, in other words, he's comparing the righteousness of the bishop to the righteous Muslim that prays his 5 daily prayers. Right? This is what he's meant by, he used to pray his 5 daily prayers. قَالَ فَأَحْبَبْتُهُ حُبًّا لَمْ أُحِبَّهُ أَحَدٌ مِّن قَبْلِ He said, and I loved him so much in such a manner that I never loved anyone like I loved him before. We need to understand also from this, why did Salman say that? Why? Because people that are righteous, people that worship Allah, are automatically loved by the creation of Allah. And that this is a natural effect of righteousness. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ وُدَّا Those who believe in Allah and do righteous good deeds, Allah will place upon them an incredible love, an attraction of love, so that people around them would love them, almost automatically. This is a natural consequence of worship. And this is why Salman radiallahu anhu, he said, I loved him like I never loved anyone before. قَالُوا أَقَمْتُ مَعَهُ زَمَنًا حَتَّى حَضَرَتْهُ الْوَفَاةِ He said, and I remained with him zaman, a while, a few years, until this bishop as well, death was presented to him. Now he's on his deathbed. This is the second bishop he's met, and this bishop is about to die. So Salman radiallahu anhu, he says to him, my dear teacher, I was with you, and I loved you like I have never loved anyone before. And look at your state, you're on your deathbed, you're about to die. Who do you advise me to go to after your death? Is there someone you advise that is as good as you, I can go to and learn my religion from? So the bishop, he said to him, Aybunay, he said to him, my dear son, Wallahi, I do not know of anyone today upon the religion that I am upon. لَقَدْ هَلَكَ النَّاسُ وَبَدَّلُوا وَتَرَكُوا He said, halaka al-nas here means that the righteous have died. The scholars and the people of knowledge of Christianity have died. Wabaddalu, and those that are still alive, they corrupted and they altered the message of the Bible. They changed it altogether. Wataraku akthara ma kanu alayh. And they left most of their religion, they abandoned it. He said to him, illa rajulan bil musil, huwa fulan, fahuwa ala ma kuntu alayhi falhaq bihi, except one man. And he lives in Al-Musil in Iraq. If you find him, go and follow him. And stay with him and just stay stuck right to him and learn from him. قال فلما مات وغيب لحقت بصاحب الموصل Salman radiallahu anhu, he says, once the second bishop died, he said, almost immediately I packed up and I carried myself until I reached Al-Musil. Look at this journey he took. This is a few hundred kilometers until he reached Iraq. He said, and I reached Iraq, and I headed straight to this bishop. I asked about him and he got to him. And he said to him, Ya Fulan, he said to him, D bishop, my teacher, I had a bishop just before you and he advised me to come to you. And he said to me that you are upon the same religion, the pure authentic religion, just like he was upon. Can I serve you and can I pray with you and can I learn from you? For the bishop now in Iraq, he said to him, Aqim indi. Yalla, no worries. Reside with me and stay with me. فَأَقَمْتُ عِنْدَهُ فَوَجَدْتُهُ خَيْرَ رَجُلٍ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِ صَاحِبِهِ He said, and I remained with him for a long time as well, many years. And I found him to be very authentic and sincere. And he was upon the same teachings as my previous friend. فَلَمْ يَلْبَثْ أَنْ مَاتْ فَلَمَّا حَضَرَهُ فَحَضَرَتْهُ الْوَفَاةِ قُلْتُ لَهُ So he says, years went by. Well, subhanallah, the same thing has happened. He's on his deathbed now. This bishop, he's on his deathbed. He's dying. Salman radiallahu anhu, he says to him, Ya Fulan, إن فلانا أوصى بي إليك وأمرني باللحوق إليك وقد حضرك من الله ما ترى فإلى من توصي بي. He says, my dear teacher, my previous friend, he advised me to come to you. And look, you're dying. Who do you advise me to go after your death? Who should I go and learn my religion from? So this bishop in Iraq, he says to him, Wallahi, my son, I don't know anyone upon the authentic teachings that I'm upon, except a man بنصيبين. نصيبين is another city opposite, نصيبين is right opposite on the other end of Al-Mosul, on the other end of Al-Mosul. So he goes to him, if you find him, go and follow up with him and stay with him. So Salman radiallahu anhu, he says, the bishop in Iraq died, and I picked up myself, packed up, and I went straight to the other bishop. And I went to him and I said to him my story, and please, can I sit with you and learn and serve you and pray with you? And he accepted, and Salman radiallahu anhu stayed with him for a very long time. You need to understand something, my brothers and sisters, is that Salman radiallahu anhu is teaching us patience and perseverance. That Salman would never jump from sheikh to sheikh and jump from one place to one place. He would stay with him until he died. Once he died, he looked for someone else. This is patience and perseverance. And this is also sincerity and honesty with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how boring this person is, no matter how exciting and how encouraging he is, ana khalas, this is the sheikh that I'm with, that I was advised to sit with, and he sat with him until this person dies. So he sat with this bishop from Nusaybin until also the same thing happens to the bishop of Nusaybin. And he is on his deathbed as well. And so Salman radiallahu anhu, he comes to him and he says to him, a bishop advised me to go to a bishop who advised me to go to another, and that bishop advised me to go to you, and you are dying now. Is there anyone that you advise me to go after your death? For he says to him, this bishop of Nusaybin, he says to him, Wallahi, ma a'lamu ahadan baqiya ala amrina amuruka an ta'tiyahu illa rajulan bi'ammuriyah. He says, Wallahi, my son, I don't know of anyone that is holding on to the authentic teachings of our religion other than one man. And this man is in Ammuriyah. Ammuriyah is modern day Turkey. He says, go, if you find him, go and stay with him. So Salman radiallahu anhu, he says, فَلَمَّا مَاتَ وَغُيِّبْ لَحِقْتُ بِصَاحِبِ عَمُّورِيَّ. When he died and they buried him, I got up and I traveled all the way until I reached Ammuriyah, and I got to that bishop there, and I requested from him if I may serve him and learn from him and pray with him. And he accepted the request. And Salman radiallahu anhu, he said, فَأَقَمْتُ مَعَ رَجُلٍ عَلَى هَدْيَ أَصْحَابِهِ وَأَمْرِهِمْ قَالْ وَاكْتَسَبْتُ حَتَّى كَانَ لِي بَقَرَاتٌ وَغُنَيْمَاتٌ. Salman radiallahu anhu, he said, so I followed and I got to Ammuriyah and I got to the teacher, that bishop, and I found him to be very honest and sincere, and he was upon the authentic teachings just like my friends in the past were. But then this time in Ammuriyah, Salman radiallahu anhu had time to work. So he went and he began to work, and he became a farmer, and he owned, he began a small farm. He owned some cows, he owned some sheep, and he began to work. And this is teaching you that a person is supposed to work when he found himself limited on resources in continuing in search of the truth. The only reason he begins to work is so that he can source his purpose in life. And this is why he begins to work. He works, he remains with this bishop. He says, radiyallahu anhu, ثُمَّ نَزَلَ بِهِ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ فَلَمَّا حَضَرَ قُلْتُ لَهُ. Then the same thing happened to him. This is a span of more than 20 years. Salman radiallahu anhu going from one bishop to another. This bishop now, final one in Ammuriyah, he's about to die. And he comes to him and he said to him, my dear teacher, until you're about to die, who do you advise me to go after your death? He said to him, Wallahi, listen, ya Salman, oh my son, there is absolutely no one on earth that is upon the authentic teachings we are on. That's it. The last one is about to die. But قَدْ أَظَلَّكَ زَمَانُ نَبِيٍّ. You have come very close to a time in where a prophet from among the Arab lands is going to emerge. We're coming close to this time. So he says to him, And this prophet is going to be, he's going to emerge, and he's going to be upon the authentic teachings of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Christians, they know this. And he said to him, look at the word, he said, Avallaka. Avallaka comes from the word Avdil. Avdil is the shadow. Yani it's like a time of comfort and tranquility has arrived finally to humanity. And he says to him, Yani, يَخْرُجُ بِأَرْضِ الْعَرَبِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَىٰ أَرْضٍ بَيْنَ حَرَّتَيْنَ. He's describing this man to him. He says to him, he's going to emerge and he's going to be upon the teachings of Ibrahim. And he's going to migrate from the lands of the Arabs until he reaches a land that is in between palm trees. This is the land of Medina. It's full of palm trees on the outside. And it is going to be بَيْنَ حَرَّتَيْنَ, meaning it's going to be between lava fields. You know, volcanic rock. Al-Madinah outside of it is full of volcanic rock. That's how it's going to be. The entrance to Al-Madinah, you're going to see huge plains of volcanic rock, and you're going to see huge fields of palm trees growing around. He said, and he's got three signs that you cannot miss. يَأْكُلُ الْهَدِيَّةِ وَلَا يَأْكُلُ الصَّدَقَةِ. He accepts and he takes the gift, and he does not accept the sadaqah, the donation, he doesn't accept it. وَبَيْنَ كَتِفَيْهِ خَاتَمُ النُّبُوَةِ. And right between his shoulder blades is the seal of prophethood. The seal of prophethood, it's like the pigeon's egg, and it has some hairs on it, and it comes out on the skin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right in between his shoulder blades. He said, فَإِنِ اسْتَطَحْتَ أَن تَلْحَقَ بِتِلْكَ الْبِلَادِ فَفْعَلْ. I don't know, and I'm about to die. If you can reach to the land of the Arabs, then get there as soon as you can. Don't wait for anyone, and don't listen to anyone after that. قال ثم مات وغيب. He died and he was buried, and now Salman رضي الله عنه is stuck in Amuriya in Turkey. He's planning now, how is he going to get to the Arab lands? قال فمكثت في عمورية ما شاء الله أن أمكث. This kind of words, it means I remained in Amuriya for as long as Allah wanted me to remain there. In other words, years went by and he's just stuck in Amuriya. قال ثم مر بي نفر من بني كلب تجار. He says the tribe of كلب, this is بني كلب, is a tribe of the Arabs. They passed by Amuriya, they passed by Turkey, they were doing some trade. And I realized that they are people of the Arab. So I rushed to them and I said to them, please, تحملوني تحملوني إلى أرض العرب وأعطيكم بقراتي والغنم. He said, please, I offer you a payment. Can I give you my cows and my sheep? Take it all, but just carry me with you to the land of the Arabs. There he's willing to sacrifice his business and his money in search of the truth and in quest of this truth and guidance. قالوا نعم. That sounds like a good deal, no problems. We don't have an issue with that. قال فحملوني. They put him on the caravan and they began يعني to go from Turkey until they're going to reach أرض العرب, the land of the Arabs. This here, this is almost a space of 2,000 kilometers. فحملوني حتى إذا قدموا بي وادي القرى ظلموني فباعوني إلى رجل من اليهود. He said they carried me, everything was going good up until we reached Wadi Qura. This is a location that is away from Medina, about 800 kilometers away from Medina. Still a long way to Medina. He said, and they stopped by Wadi Qura, and this was a land, most of it were Jews, and they oppressed me, ظلموني. And they deceived me and they tricked me. They grabbed me and they said that I'm a slave. They said I'm a slave. They assumed I'm a slave. And they went and they sold me to a Jewish man. Subhanallah. Salman radiallahu anhu. Salman. Who was Salman from the beginning? Who was he? His father was a wealthy man. His father was an empire. His father owned lands and he owned farms and fields. His father owned a construction company. The son was loved by his father. He was loved by his family, by his relatives, by his brothers and sisters. He was a young boy enjoying his life. Look at now from where he is, where he's become. He's become a slave in the hands of the worst of the creation of Allah, the Jews. Yani, can you imagine what Salman radiallahu anhu is going through? And not one day in his life he looks back and he regrets what he does. And the day he's sold as a slave, little does he know, but this was the best day in his life. Because the day he was sold as a slave is going to be the beginning of his journey to Madinah, eventually meeting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And to never look at the negative side in your life. The negative is always there, but look through this tunnel and you will find the light at the end of it. Salman radiallahu anhu doesn't give up. He gets there and he's sold as a slave. You need to understand, what can he do? Yani even though he's not a slave, they carry him and they claim he's a slave. If he tried to fight that or argue with them, they would have killed him. Well, subhanAllah, look at the plan of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yani, so much wisdom in Allah making him a slave. If he was still in Amuriyah, if he was still in Turkey, then it was at this time that the Romans, they won over Damascus. And it was at this time that many, many people were massacred and murdered at that time. And if Salman was still there, he would have surely been killed by the Romans. Allah Azza wa Jal takes him out of there, sells him as a slave. He's sold as a slave to the Jews, and he's saved from all of this. SubhanAllah, the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always needs to be trusted by the believer. Ba'uni, they sold me. They oppressed me. You know, yani, the forms of slavery among the Arabs were plenty. Well, this is why when Islam came, it did not abolish slavery altogether. Rather, it abolished the oppressive forms of slavery. Like before, in the past, before Islam, I could grab someone and I say, I claim I own him and I sell him. This is an oppressive form of slavery. Islam came to stop that form. For example, if you owed me money and you didn't pay it on time, I can take you as a slave and sell you. This is an oppressive form of slavery. Islam came and it put a stop to all these forms of slavery and left only one form of slavery, and that is the slavery that is the captive of the war. That's it. And then even with that, Islam came and taught us how to deal with such people. Yani, there's a story that they mention about slavery, so you can understand its oppressive forms during the Arabs' time. There's a companion by the name of Nu'man, radiallahu anhu. And then Nu'man, he was a character. He was a joker, he was a funny person at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is sent out by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a journey. Abu Bakr goes and Nu'man is with him, and there's a couple of Sahaba also on the trip. And so what happens is that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he appoints one of the Sahaba as yani in charge of the food. And this Sahaba is supposed to give every companion on the trip some food, some dates, and as the days go by and there's enough calculation estimate so that it yani it's enough for them until they return. So Nu'man radiallahu anhu, he got hungry on the trip. And he went to this companion and he said to him, give me. He said to him, I'll give you what? And if I open the bags and I feed everyone tomorrow, what are we going to eat? So he says, sorry, Abu Bakr appoints me here and I give you exactly a portion of the day and you're more hungry, wait till tomorrow. Nu'man radiallahu anhu is not settling for that. He says, give me the food. Give me. He didn't give him. He said, all right, fine, no worries. So Nu'man radiallahu anhu, he walks because they've rested at a place and he finds a group and a tribe of the Arabs. And he walks in there and he says to them, you have some food to feed me? They said to him, well, do you have some money to pay us? He says to them, I don't have money, but I have a slave I can give you. They say to him, yani, wallah, it's a good deal. He says, look, but let me tell you something about this slave. He's good, he's energetic, he's strong, he's powerful. But there's only one problem with him. And that is that every time we want to sell him as a slave, he claims he's a free man. For they said, all right, khalas, no worries, that's easy, we'll deal with it. So he sits with him and he eats until he's full. And he comes back and he takes these Arabs with him. And he said to them, there, that's the man. That's the slave, take him. So they come to him and they grab him. And he says to him, what? He says, they said that you're a payment, you're the slave, you're our payment. He says, what slave? I'm a free man. He says, yeah, we know that. We know you're going to say that. So they tie him and they grab him and they take him with him and they begin to walk. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, yani he went out and he came back and he's seen the situation. Where's the man appointed on the food? Nu'man radiallahu anhu, he says to him, Allah, this is the story. This is what happened. And I was hungry. I requested food. He said, no. And I did this with him. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he goes to that tribe of Arabs and he explains to them the story. And they release this companion and he's back. The point is that the Arabs used to have this. This kind of slavery was very oppressive among them. You know, anyone was a slave, sold, anyone purchased, anyone claimed ownership over anyone. And Islam came and it stopped and abolished all that, except one form of slavery. We said that is the slave of the war. For Salman radiallahu anhu, he's going through this right now. Well, what choice does he have? Little choice does he have. If he speaks a word, they kill him right then and there. So he remains as it is. And he still hasn't lost his focus and he hasn't lost his purpose in life. And that is that he still needs to reach Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now he's loaded, he's got the information. He knows what he's looking for. He knows what he's looking for, the land of the Arabs, volcanic rock, palm trees, and a man with three descriptions. For Salman radiallahu anhu, he says, subhanallah, he says, you need to understand that Salman radiallahu anhu, when he was shackled by his dad, doesn't matter, he allowed himself to be shackled, but he never allowed his intellect and his free will to be shackled. And so he pursued and he kept on going. He said, I was in Wadi Qura with this Jew, and my master, his cousin from Al-Madina, came to visit him one day. After a few years, he came to visit him. He visited him and he said to him, yani the master, he said to his cousin, I have a slave for sale. You want him? You want to take him? This is his relative and we're all one. So he says to him, Allah, show me this slave that you have. He showed him Salman, or Salman radiallahu anhu. He was a strong man. Yani you'll know, realize later on, that he came with the idea of digging the trench, and he's the one that went down and dug it on the day of Al-Khandaq. He was a strong, brave man. So he says, all right, no worries, I'll take him. And the cousin of the master of Salman radiallahu anhu, he carried Salman, put him on his caravan, and now where is he heading? He's heading towards Al-Madina. 800 kilometers, a few days later, Salman radiallahu anhu begins to shake from happiness, overwhelmed with excitement and happiness. He sees exactly what his bishop had described to him. He saw a land, and he saw the volcanic rock, and he saw the palm trees. And from inside, he has a burning sensation of happiness and excitement. And they enter right into this land. And we're going to stop here. Wa bi idhnillahi ta'ala, next Wednesday, we continue from then on. What was his role with his new master? How did his master treat him? And by the way, the moment Salman enters Al-Madina is the moment and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches the age of 40 in Mecca, and he's appointed the final messenger of Allah. So how long does he need to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Another 13 years before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to Al-Madina. For these 13 years he's going to live as a slave. Shufu, subhanallah, it is an incredible story. When he meets, finally places his hand on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is described in such epic detail that bi-idhnillah we're just going to sort of go around the entire narration word by word and explain to you the emotion of Salman radiallahu anhu when he finally sees that which he has longed for, radiallahu anhu arda. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to benefit from that which we heard, and we ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of the Quran, people of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Innahu waliyu thalika wal qadiru alayhi, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.